I don't think, well, maybe somebody here, from a historical perspective, remembers a Catholic politician by the name of Al Smith. He was governor of New York, and he ran for president and was defeated in his run for president. I always remember having a copy of the front page of the Herald Tribune, which had an editorial cartoon, which had a picture from the White House, a drawing, and the cabinet gathered around a table. And in the background, you could see the Capitol building. And you could see the Pope at the head of the table, and the cardinals sitting at the table, and Al Smith bringing water. So I think the Herald Tribune was kind of anti-Smith, if not anti-Catholic. Because John F. Kennedy taught us one thing, that Catholic politicians don't necessarily follow the church. But Al Smith, as governor of New York, went to visit the famous prison, Sing Sing. And by the way, it's called Sing Sing because it's right outside of Ossining, New York, where the Maryknoll Fathers are located. For those of you who know Father Rich, that's where he is living now, back with his religious community. But getting back, Al Smith is brought in, he's taking a tour, and the warden gathers all the prisoners into one room and announces that the governor is going to speak to them. And Smith was not prepared to give a talk, and he was kind of very awkward. And he wanted to begin his talk, "My fellow citizens," and then he thought, you know, some of them have given up their rights to vote because they're in prison. So he stopped himself, and he wasn't sure. So he then came up with, "My fellow convicts." You know, they laughed at that, but he wasn't a fellow convict. And so he said, "Well, I'm glad to see so many of you here," which caused a lot of guffaws. Like, they had any choice about being in prison or being listening to him. So you had a choice to turn on Channel 6, and if you took it, I'm happy that you're here, and pleased that you're here, because you did have a choice. And you chose to spend Easter celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's a good thing. Even Easter, though, is not exempt from some fads that sweep through our land. One soldier wrote to Reader's Digest telling the story of a Catholic priest who used to gather the children up around him after the gospel to give a sermon someplace near here, I think Aberdeen Proving Ground. And so they had read the gospel about the resurrection of Jesus, and then he asked the children, "And what happened next?" And this woman went, "Oh, I know. And he said, "Okay." I mean, the priest said, "Okay." And the kid said, "And then," because he was in the tomb for 3 days, he turned into a zombie and went out and killed the Romans. Well, we know that's not the story of the resurrection. It's not exactly how it goes, because the story that we have is much more beautiful. You know, just imagine you had been there to see Christ making his way out of the tomb. Or Mary Magdalene coming there. You know, her eyes, she's crying, she's sad, she's miserable. And she's probably thinking, "Oh, what am I going to do about the soldiers? What am I going to do about the stone? What's going to..." And she's just, and she misses Jesus. And she arrives there, no soldiers, an open tomb. You know, she's taken off her guard. This is not what she's expecting. And of course, she went back, as you heard in the gospel, and got Peter and John. But John's gospel has a little variance in there, is that before getting Peter and John, she was at the tomb, and she saw a man standing there. And she went up to him, and she said, "Where have they taken him?" The man looked at her. Now, obviously, you know, this is somebody who looked human to her, not a zombie. And he goes, "Mary?" And in the sound of being called by name, she recognized Jesus. So obviously he had his glorified body. He looked human. And she said to him, Rabboni, which is a form of the word for rabbi when you're addressing someone. She recognized Jesus in the calling of her name. Now, if you notice in the gospel and in the story, how many times did Jesus say to his disciples that he had to die and 3 days rise again, they tear down the temple, which he meant, and rise again in 3 days? Constantly. You know, he gave them warning of what is to come, and it didn't sink in. It even says that again in today's gospel. It didn't sink into them. They've heard them. And how many times for us have we heard the message of Jesus Christ and it didn't sink in? So, when Jesus called Mary, all her fog, non-understanding, all of that disappeared. Or her fear disappeared. And we now live in a period of time where a lot of people's faith is getting foggy and disappearing because they're scared. Scared of what? Scared of dying? It's not that bad. It's worse for the people we leave behind, but not for the person who dies. We're worried about how we die. Because when we die, hopefully we'll go to heaven. Of course, there was a thing on Facebook that said, you know, click, and it told me I was going to live to 103 years. And it gave a count for how many good deeds I did and how many bad, and it says I'll go to purgatory. And I said, I'll take it. We all want to go and live. And you know, nowadays, with modern science and AI and all of that, they're starting what they call virtual immortality. Soon, they will be able to take all your thoughts and put them into a computer. They'll take all your emotions and put them into the computer. They'll take all your memories and put it into a computer. And then they will give this computer a body, an avatar. And so that will keep going on forever. It sounds like you. It looks like you. It has all of your memories. It has all of your thoughts. It will make decisions the same way that you do. But it's still not you. You are not going on. Something that resembles you is going on. This may not sound very appealing to you, but maybe to your family and friends. Although they're not losing you, they still have this avatar there. But it's still not you. And some of you may have heard of Kurzweil. Ray Kurzweil, a brilliant scientist, inventor, author, and an agnostic. And he was featured on the cover of Time magazine because of his article in it. It's a 2045. The year man becomes immortal. Now, he doesn't have any religious affiliation, but he still has this need to live forever. And not only does he want to live forever, he wants to bring back people who have died and restore them so that they too can live forever. And, you know, maybe, you know, you've heard about people putting their bodies, freezing and things. Something. He's trying to work on doing all of those things. And he wanted to do it because he missed his father. His father was another brilliant scientist. And he just wanted to be with his father. Well, as a Christian, I can tell him, follow Jesus Christ, believe in him, and you shall have eternal life. And if your father did that, you will have eternal life with him. Now, getting back to the resurrection, there's an interesting story, and some of you know it, about Helen of Troy. You know, this woman who was known for her great beauty and said the face that launched 1,000 ships. Do you know the rest of the story? After the war was over, she was captured. And aboard a ship, she had lost her memory. She didn't know who she was. And nobody else knew who she was. So they just released her into a Greek town. And she had no money, no possessions, no memory. So she made her living, because she did have good looks, the way a woman with good looks can make a living, especially among sailors. And so she did that for many years. And that experience was hard on her, took away her beauty. And finally, she was an old woman, still having nothing, begging on the streets. But her friends did not give up on her, and they were going around searching for her. And they searched for her, and finally one friend saw this woman on the streets and said, "There's something there that looks familiar." And he called her, "Helen." But she didn't react. She said, "I don't know what my name is." And he said, "Show me your hands." And her hands had a distinctive mark on them from her childhood. And he says, "You are Helen of Troy." And with that, she remembered who she was in the calling of her name. We remember who we really are. Jesus called Mary Magdalene, and she recognized him. Jesus is also calling us by our names, but sometimes we're too much in a fog to realize that we are being called by Jesus. We are being called to live forever with him. He is speaking to you right now, St. Paul tells us in the Acts of the Apostles. And when it rains, St. Paul tells us, we feel the rain. That's God talking to us. Today, when we see the sunshine, that's God calling us by name. When we see friends calling us, it is God calling us by name, so that we know that Christ is alive. He's calling us by name. That is our reality, because Christ is alive. And he's saying, "I am real, and I am with you." Now, some of you are familiar with a Protestant writer, Tony Coppola, and he tells a story, and I read the story after I was at a funeral, that the pastor did this exact same thing. Now, I can't pull off how an African-American preacher preaches. And Coppola went there for a funeral of his friend who died at 17 years old. And the minister was magnificent. He preached about the resurrection. He talked about life after death in such glowing terms that Coppola said he wanted to go then. And then he yelled at the corpse. He says, "Clarence! Clarence!" And he said it with such authority that Coppola was saying he was surprised Clarence didn't answer. And then the pastor says, "That's it, Clarence." And he went down, standing by, talking about what Clarence had done for his people, how he was such a wonderful person. And then he goes, "That's it, Clarence. There's nothing more to say. There's only one thing left to say. Good night." Now that's drama. White preachers can't do that. Then the preacher grabbed the lid of the casket and he slammed it shut. And he says, "Good night, Clarence. Clarence, good night." As he slammed the lid down. "Good night, Clarence. I know," he said, "that God is going to give you a great morning. And we who are good and faithful servants at our funeral, the preacher can say the same thing. Good night, because you're going to have a great morning because Jesus died and rose from the dead. Death doesn't threaten us. Death, St. John Chrysostom writes, based upon St. Paul, where is your sting? In the second century, where there were plagues, and plagues were seen as evil, Christians ran in to take care of the pagans because they weren't afraid of dying, because dying would mean they could go to heaven, and they would go to heaven because they were doing good deeds that caused their death. And if they didn't, they knew they had at least done something good. A win-win situation. So, probably we'll also have been at the tomb of a friend, and there's heartbreak, and frustration, and fear. And if you're ever crying at a tomb someday, the good news for that day should be, Jesus is calling your name. He's here with reassurance, saying, person you love, your family member, is with him and will rise to eternal life. And prayerfully, we pray always that we too shall rise to a new life in Christ.